As we begin this morning to look at the message, today's message is about changing our attitude about worship. And as we begin, we're going to look in the First Chronicles 13, verses 1 through 14. So this, you may say, okay, what in the world is he using this scripture for? But that's okay. You'll get the point after a little while. All right. David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. He then said to the whole assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our brothers throughout the territories of Israel, and also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their towns and pasture lands, to come and join us. Let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." The whole assembly agreed to do this because it seemed right to all the people. So David assembled all the Israelites from the Shear River in Egypt to Lebo Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kirith Jearim. And David and all the Israelites with him went to Bala of Judah, Kirith Jearim, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubim. The ark that is called by the name. They moved the ark of God from Ahaz's house on the new cart with Uzzah and Ahu guiding it. David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God and with harps, lyres, tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets. When they came to the threshing floor of Kedon, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he had put his hand on the ark. So he died there before God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of God that day and asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of God to me?" He did not take the ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. All right. What is the reason that the people in this passage decided to worship God? Well, what is the reason that you and I decide to worship God? Do you and I come here to worship God because we like to sing? Do you and I come here to worship because we like the kind of music that we hear in the worship service? Do you and I worship because we like the time of day that it is done? Do you and I come here to worship because you and I have to do it as a job? Why do you worship? I want you to look at worship in a different way this morning. You see, there is a right way and a wrong way to worship. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, I want you to see as a metaphor this morning, a metaphor for worship, and in these verses, more importantly, the Ark of the Covenant will and has always represented the presence of God. So the ark was a reminder for the people of Israel of the power and the presence of God in their lives. So we see that in these verses, but I want you to see it as a metaphor for worship also. The ark held the Ten Commandments and Aaron's staff, for those of you who don't know that. That's what it held, and it was specifically designed by God's direction. And it also had specific designs on how it should be handled. And that's why Uzzah was struck down, because he touched it when it was not supposed to be touched by anyone. Okay, the ark was a symbol of his presence, was carried, the people could see God in their lives. Okay, when the ark was carried properly, it allowed God to speak to the people and lead the people. All right, now worship as seen here is defined as seeking the presence of God. Now, let's talk about what the presence of God is not. There are three things, basically, the presence of God is not. The presence of God is not a prop, a performance, or a place. Now, we don't worship God, or the presence of God is not a prop. I mean, it's not this projector. It's not the piano. It's not the organ. It's not the pulpit. It's not the pews you're sitting in. It's not even this building. Okay? The presence of God is none of those things. It's not even this cross. It's nothing. It's not a prop. It's nothing tangible that we can lay our hands on. It's not a performance. It's not even my sermon. It's not the singing that Reg led us in so wonderfully this morning. It's not even the singing that was on the CD that Sharon shared for us. It's not even in the playing that Sharon played for us this morning. It's not in the performance of anyone. It's not in a place, no matter where we go. The presence of God is not in a place. You know, God cannot be restricted to any place. The presence of God is not restricted. People go to the Holy Land all the time to visit the Holy Land because there's something special about it. Well, you know what? Going to Bethlehem, going to Jerusalem, there's nothing more special about it except for the things that happened there than there is them being right here. God's presence is here just as much as it is in Jerusalem or Bethlehem. Now, why do we worship? Do we worship because of the props? Do we worship because of the performance? Do we worship because of the place? Yes, a lot of people do. And they got the wrong idea. A lot of people go to church because of the props, because of the things that are all in front of them. A lot of people go to the church because of the performance, because of the pastor's wonderful preaching. You're not here because of that, I know that. Go there because of the wonderful singing, the great worship leaders, and the wonderful worship bands. You're not here because of that. We don't have a wonderful worship band. We got some great pianists. We got some great singers. But you're all not here because of that. You're not here because of the place. Well, maybe you are. You have to answer that one for yourself. I'm here because I was called here by God to be pastor. Now, are you here because God called you here to worship here? Or are you here because my grandfather's 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 grandfather was born here? Or are you here because this is truly where you feel you can worship? You have to answer that question. And if you can answer that question, yes, that this is where I can worship, or if you have to answer it, well, no, it's just because this is where my family is, and yes, I come here and I try to worship, but you know what? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Well, you know what? Maybe you need to pray to God to help you worship instead of just being a resident. All right. I said that, and I'm not taking it back. All right. What else is here? Is, you know, the Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with Him. Whenever you seek Him, you will find Him. But if you abandon Him, He will abandon you. 2 Chronicles 15:2 tells us that. When you seek with my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Psalm 119:10. And you will seek me and you will find me. when you search for me with your whole, with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. Sound familiar? It is good to seek God with your whole heart. All right. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Proverbs 8:17. And if you seek God, you will find him. That's a promise. I mean, it's in the Bible several times. Followed up by, you will find me. If you seek me, you will find me. But it's always a case of your whole heart. All wholeheartedly. Not just if you just kind of just nonchalantly look over your shoulder and try to catch me, you're going to catch me. No, if you genuinely seek me, you will find me. There are plenty of people out there who have, for the sake of trying to disprove the existence of God or whatever, have sought the truth. And have ended up proving to themselves the existence of God. C.S. Lewis is one. C.S. Lewis was one of the biggest non-believers. And now he's probably one of the most well-known Christian authors of the 20th century. And probably it has to do with his just steadfast desire to disprove the existence of God. And in doing so, he proved to himself that God did exist. Whenever somebody truly, with all their heart, sets out to find the truth, they will find it. And what they will end up finding and what they will end up coming up against is the fact that God does exist and God is real. And when they are faced with that decision to either accept it or deny it, then that's the decision of their life. And if you're truly seeking the truth, you can't deny it. All right. Should I seek the presence of God in my life? I worship because I recognize that I need God. I need God, and so I seek His presence. I propose that we today seek God's presence to raise the sounds of joy. What do I mean by that? Well, let's talk about this. 1 Chronicles 15, verses 1 through 16. Now, I'm going to skip over a lot of names here. I'm just going to go over a lot of names here and give you maybe the first initial. After David had constructed buildings for himself in the city of David, he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, "No one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever." David assembled all Israel in Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to the place he had prepared for it. He called together the descendants of Aaron and the Levites. From the descendants of Kay, you, the leader, and 120 relatives. From the descendants of M, A, the leader, and 220 relatives. From the descendants of Gershon, Joel, the leader, and 130 relatives. From the descendants of E, S, the leader, and 200 relatives. From the descendants of Hebron, E, the leader, and 80 relatives. From the descendants of Uzziel, A, the leader, and 112 relatives. Then David summoned Zadok and A, the priest, and Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, S, Eiel, and Amminadab, the Levites. He said to them, "You are the heads of the Levitical families. You and your fellow Levites are to consecrate yourselves and bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. It was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out in anger against us. We did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way, so the priests and Levites consecrated themselves in order to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God with the poles on their shoulders, as Moses had commanded in accordance with the word of the Lord. David told the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brothers as singers to sing joyful songs accompanied by musical instruments, lyres, harps, and cymbals. All right. And I said, I say that we should raise sounds of joy. Presence of God is a position. It's a position. It's where he is. It's a position. It's a properly held position. It's a prescribed way in a way, but it's not 100% a recipe. You know what I mean by that? Let me explain it to you. God tells us there are certain ways in which we are to respect him. And there are certain things in which he will not honor. Certain things that he will not honor. So the position is a position of respect, a position of honor. Not a position of sitting, standing, whatever, a position of raised high, seated on his throne, where he will always be, never taking him off the throne. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Ways to seek the presence of God, raising sounds of joy. Okay, music. Worship, yes, worship involves music. Worship involves singing. Now, not all of us are musicians. Not all of us are singers. But you know what? That doesn't matter. We can enjoy singing and the music of others, and that in itself, the enjoyment or the being in the presence of the singing or the music of others, is in itself an act of worship. When it is dedicated and point it towards the position of God. Okay. Now, you see something there called keeping the gates. There were gatekeepers. Ways to seek the presence of God. Gatekeepers. Now, you see in chapter 13, verses 16 and 19 show these worshipers singing and playing. But in verse 18 of chapter 15, you'll see there's a list of people that are called the gatekeepers. And with them, the brothers in rank, the gatekeepers. Now, this word gatekeepers is also the same word that can be used for janitor or custodian. Did you know that an act of worship can be servants or service? Let's put it that way, not servants. Service to the church or service to the house of the Lord? That's an act of worship. Being a custodian in the house of the Lord? That's an act of worship. Or being someone who just serves others. That's an act of worship. Cutting the lawn, plowing the snow, shoveling the sidewalks, trimming the trees, taking care of all the stuff around the church, that is an act of worship. carrying the ark now. There were people who carried the ark. Now this is the most important one. Because carrying the ark, what is the ark? It's a metaphor for worship, but it's also what? The presence of God. All of us who are called Christians carry with us the presence of God. Not just while we're in a state of worship service, but when we go out into the world, it is an act of worship to continually carry the presence of God to the world. Held properly, holding Him up properly so that He is not disrespected, so that He is not misrepresented, so that His position is understood. That is important. And that is all of us. Some of us may not be singers. Some of us may not be musicians. Some of us may not be servers or custodians or trustees, whatever you want to call it. But all of us are carriers. And that's so important to remember. So, the joy that we express to God today should be carried to other people who need that joy. You carry the laws of God in your heart, or the Word of God in your heart. You carry the example of Jesus in your life. What is carried is meant to be shared. You don't seek the presence of God so that you can be joyful for your own sake. You carry that joy to give it to other people. It's so important that what we have is to be shared. It's not to be shared just within the holy huddle either. When I say holy huddle, I mean just within our own little gathering. It's to be shared outside of the church building, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools, with our friends, with our neighbors, with strangers, so that they see the love of God, the grace of God, and the hope of God reflected in us as we carry His presence with us everywhere we go. All right. Now, you understand why I used Chronicles this morning? An example of improper carrying isn't something we want to do. We don't want to become so... Uzzah was so familiar with the ark. It had spent so much time sitting where it was at in someone's house. So familiar with it that he forgot how much respect it demanded and how much actual care it deserved in its handling. May we never, ever forget how much respect and honor God demands and deserves in our life. Because we don't ever want to disrespect Him by accident, even, which Uzzah's was. It was an accident, and God held him accountable for it. Take care of God, and God will take care of you.